worship theme this morning, within the context of our stewardship program, is reckless for love. And the use of the word reckless is quite deliberate. And it's based on that incident that Keith read in Jesus' ministry, where our Lord is anointed with gratitude and perfumed oil by a woman. The incident is seen as so significant within Jesus' ministry that it's recorded in three of the four Gospels. And each recording is slightly different from the other. Like three eyewitnesses describing to the police officer what happened when the car and the van collided at the Bealside traffic lights, they all saw the same incident, but they saw it from different angles, remembered different details, so their accounts are not completely consistent, but they're broadly accurate and fundamentally honest. And it's fascinating to see how this anointing incident is recorded in the Gospels. So let's get biblical just for 2 or 3 minutes. Keith read John's version, but let's begin with Matthew. In Matthew's version, Jesus is in Bethany, but he's at the house of a man called Simon, who has been cured by Jesus of leprosy. This is a grateful home. It's a happy and a welcoming home, and Jesus is their special guest. A woman, unnamed, appears and pours an expensive perfume on Jesus' head. The disciples grumble that this is a waste of potential funds. It could be sold and the money given to the poor. Jesus defends her, describing what she has done as beautiful. And critically, after that incident, Matthew records that Judas decides it's time to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. And then in Mark's gospel, the incident also happens in Simon's house in Bethany. The woman again is unnamed, but this time the perfume is named. It's nard, confirming its extremely high market value. And there is grumbling again, and the woman is criticized, and again Jesus defends her, using once again the word beautiful to describe her actions. And then in John's gospel, the one that we heard this morning, the incident is still located in Bethany, but it's in the home of Lazarus, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. So Martha and Mary, you know, the push-you-pull-me, push-me-pull-you bickering sisters, they're also there. But no doubt about it, it's a happy home, it's a healed home, and Jesus is a very welcome guest. But this time, the woman is named as one of the sisters, Mary. The one who is inclined to sit and listen to Jesus while Martha fusses about making sure that the table's set and all the rest of it. In this account, Mary pours the oil on Jesus' feet, not his head, and wipes those feet with her hair. The criticism this time in John's version comes from one person, Judas. And again, Jesus defends her actions. John also adds a little PS that the religious powers that be are looking by this time for ways of getting rid of Lazarus as well as Jesus, because Lazarus' somewhat dramatic return to life is causing many people to ignore the authorities and listen to Jesus. So whether it's Simon's home or Lazarus' home, the setting is one of deep joy and gratitude, where Jesus is a welcome guest, and it takes only the littlest of imagination to smell the scent that would be wafting around the house after this woman's remarkable act of love and generosity. And for those who are into biblical Trivial Pursuit, there is a similar kind of incident recorded in Luke's gospel, but a lot of scholars think that refers to a separate act altogether. And here's a question that seems to intrigue people over the centuries. What was the nature and motive for such an action, and especially, was it spontaneous or premeditated? It intrigues folk because of this age-old argument about whether spontaneous acts of generosity are intrinsically more loving than premeditated acts of generosity. I came into the church this morning, I got a waft of cheese, and I like cheese. So I actually went to the kitchen and said, could I have a wee dot of cheese? That was spontaneous. I was a pest anyway, but it was spontaneous, and it was a great pleasure. Sometimes joys can be spontaneous. Sometimes they're premeditated and planned. Oh, good. Oh, yes, that's right. Callum got some. Place that whole argument about spontaneity and premeditation in a small but down-to-earth contemporary scenario. I made a decision some years ago that I would buy The Big Issue, a magazine which helps those who sell it to get back on their feet, get some security, recover some pride and some self-esteem that life may have stolen or destroyed. I made the decision to buy that magazine regularly because many of the sellers have been at one time or another homeless. Now, that was a premeditated decision on my part. It's also premeditated that I don't buy it from the same person because I never know where I'm going to be, where or when I will bump into the person selling that week's edition. It's first come, first serve. But occasionally I bump into the guy who sells The Big Issue outside the Co-op at Airy Hall. It's usually on a Friday. I don't know why, it just seems to work that way. And as Friday is usually the only evening that I can be absolutely guaranteed to be off, except next week, as Friday is the only evening I can usually guarantee to be off, I usually have a slight kind of feel-good thing about me on that day. And so sometimes I find that when picking up The Big Issue from this vendor, I also, quite spontaneously, if I'm in the shop beforehand, I buy him a sandwich and a bar of chocolate. And when I get the magazine, I give him that as well. Now, that does not make me a saint, and I'm not telling the story to suggest I deserve a halo. I'm trying to make the distinction between spontaneous and premeditated. And the fact that from the vendor's point of view, the guy who sells The Big Issue outside the Co-op at Airy Hall, he doesn't give a toss what my motive is or whether it's spontaneous or premeditated. He's just grateful. I just bought his magazine and gave him a sandwich. His day just got better. End of story. Our worship theme is Reckless for Love because that woman in the biblical event we read, whether it was Mary or someone else who poured such expensive oil on Jesus, did so undoubtedly as an act of love and gratitude and even delight. And premeditated or spontaneous, it was indeed reckless, inasmuch as it probably represented a significant part of her wealth. And there's every reason to believe that such wealth was not something she had a lot of. Now, switch about. Come to an exciting church meeting I was at sometime this week and last week, most weeks, in fact. It was a board meeting and then, I think, a Kirk Centre Management Committee meeting. And at one stage in both of these meetings, there was an absolutely routine list of tasks being ticked off. The Hub Cafe kitchen gets very hot at times. The volunteers wanted to open the back door to let in some air. But along with the fresh air come flies. And the food hygiene inspectors from Aberdeen City Council, who can call any time without warning, tend to take a dim view of flies. So our meeting looked at the cost of buying a fly screen, which lets air in and keeps flies out. You will find no mention of any of this in the Book of Revelation, but if you are a food inspector, flies in a kitchen is as near as damn it to Armageddon as you can get. It's just not on. And then, same meeting, because the Hub Cafe is so busy, volunteers needed now. Seriously, please. But because the Hub Cafe is so busy, they need more freezer space for storage. But to buy another freezer would, paradoxically, increase the heat in the kitchen area. So if we buy the freezer, which is needed, we'll also have to buy some kind of improved ventilation cooling system for the temperature of the kitchen. A double whammy of expenditure. Meanwhile, and this also came up in the meeting, new government or local government legislation means that churches no longer get free water. We will have to pay for all the water we use in our toilets, our kitchens, and watering our gardens. And then another item popped up. The possibility of making the door to the Kirk Centre a door which opens electronically. A much easier task for folk in wheelchairs, and in fact for anybody, you know, balancing a walking stick whilst at the same time trying to open a heavy, solid entrance door. A council scheme has offered us several thousand pounds to put in place just such an opening device. But there is no guarantee that the installation costs would come within that free budget. We're looking at it carefully. Now, you could call all of these running costs things which are premeditated. Indeed, they are. If they're on an agenda, it's fair to say that they're premeditated. But there are other events, less so. After Ballater suffered terrible flooding earlier this year, we received a request from Ballater's parish church asking if we or anyone else could help in paying the extremely large heating bill they were going to get, because they had kept their building open and heated for several days, all day, every day, so they could provide a sanctuary, a haven, for the hundreds who'd been disrupted and made homeless. Our board decided to respond by giving them all the rent income that we'd received from Presbytery, who had been temporarily using our office back there for a few weeks. And then someone at the board meeting said that same night, quite spontaneously, said we should in fact double that figure, because Ballater Church and the entire community of Ballater was having such a hard time of it. And so we agreed, rather spontaneously, to do just that. Some weeks later, a cheque for £500 or £600 was handed over, and they were very grateful. This year coming, we have been asked, well, it's an instruction really, from Church of Scotland headquarters to contribute just a few pounds short of £100,000 to the work of the National Kirk. And actually, we have no argument with that. We are, after all, part of our National Kirk, which stretches, however thin sometimes, across the country and embraces a wonderful social care dimension, cross-reach, that is a fine and highly professional expression of the compassion of our gospel. But that £100,000 is over and above what it costs us to maintain our sanctuary, our halls here, our centre over there, and the manse up the road, not forgetting our commitment to a youth and families worker, an appointment which makes more and more sense as we see more and more homes being built in this parish. The decision to pay our dues, so to speak, to 121, the decision to maintain our sanctuary hall and centres and to make them as accessible as possible, the decision to extend our paid ministry team by creating that youth and family workers post, these are all, you could say, premeditated decisions. But the decision to let Bernardo's put up a display shortly, free of charge, in the Kirk Centre, highlighting the role of fostering, and then a very different display the following week from Christian Aid, again free of charge. These are much more spontaneous decisions. There was a need, a request, a hope, and we had the privilege of saying yes in Christ's name. The point is this: if a church is going to be authentic in society, if its life is going to reflect something of the life of Jesus Christ and the love of heaven, then our actions cannot always be decided by caution and pragmatism. Generosity cannot always be pragmatic. Kindness cannot always be cautious. Sometimes we have to be reckless for love. And sometimes we can plan very carefully and decide that, yes, we will still be reckless for love. People can argue till the cows come home exactly what the love of God is. But there's no doubt at all about the reality of love made flesh in a congregation. People see it. The curious see it. The cynics see it. And that's what people must see in the life of this church, that there is something outward-looking, generous, and life-affirming in what we do, in who we are. And for that to happen, then all the hidden costs which go with being the kind of church we seek to be, from fly screens to water charges to supporting the Kirk's work and witness at local and national level, for all that to happen, it requires of us a kind of recklessness in the financial support that we offer. "It's a beautiful thing she has done," said Jesus, when others dare to criticize one woman's reckless love. And it's a beautiful thing that we do in a society so full of greed and self-interest, when we support our church and the work that the church does for the kingdom's sake. So glory be to God the Father, to God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning and is now and ever shall be. Amen.